Well, let's go to Proverbs 24 tonight. Proverbs 24. I got a special message I'd like to give you on building a house of wisdom. I called this message building a house of wisdom. Everybody has high aspirations, you know, for their baby. And certainly, babies, they grow, you know. And what happens between birth and when they're adults is very important. And because great heroes of the faith, they're not born, they're grown, you know. And that's why it's so important what we're doing here tonight. Because, you know, dedicated followers of Christ are grown. All right, just because these babies have Christian parents, that's no guarantee, is it, that they'll follow the Lord. They have to grow. They have to learn. They have to grow in His Word. It's like a group of tourists. I think I told you this before, maybe a long time ago, but a group of tourists. I told this at that retreat I did recently, but a group of tourists were going through this picturesque village, and there were tourists, and so they're walking into this quaint little village, and there's this old man, and he's sitting beside a fence like this, looking at all the tourists. This old guy is sitting there looking at him. One of the tourists said, in kind of a patronizing way, looked at the old man and said, "Were any great men born in this village?" And the old man looked and went, "Nope, only babies." Only babies. Right? All that's how we all start out. Amen. We all start out that way as babies. And in Proverbs 24, verse 3, it says, "Through wisdom is an house builded." Through wisdom is an house builded. And by understanding, it is established. The idea here is that it's God's wisdom that builds a solid home. It's not man's wisdom. It's not the world's wisdom. It's not Satan's wisdom. It's not religion's wisdom. It's God's wisdom that builds a strong, solid home. It's God's wisdom. And in Proverbs chapter 2, if you'll turn back there real quickly, Proverbs chapter 2, look at verse number 6. Proverbs 2, 6. Proverbs 2, 6. It says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Hey, if you want to know how to build a wise home, y'all agree with me, there's no greater place to go than God Almighty. Amen? Go to His Word. You know, they say that wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. That's a pretty good definition. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. And of course, the only way to do that is through His Word. Nowhere is wisdom needed more than in the home. And in the home, nowhere is wisdom needed more than with husbands, fathers. You know, it's interesting, if you look at the verse on the screen here, Ephesians 6:4, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Isn't that interesting how he singles out fathers? And he says, you fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition. Bring them up there. If you look that up, that phrase, bring them up, carries the idea of training. You know, I think about that verse in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, and not depart from it. But that's what it means. Bring them up means to train them. And when you see that word admonition, what does that mean? Bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Carries the idea of calling their attention to something and rebuking them or warning them if necessary. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Let me show you another great passage here. Talking about through wisdom a house is builded. Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse number 1. It says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father." Hear the instruction of a what? A father. and attend to know understanding. Verse 2, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. We see how important a father's instruction is, don't we? If you're saved tonight, and I believe with all my heart, all of these parents that you saw, they know the Lord. And if you're saved, does that mean that you're in Christ? Yes or no? Yes. So that means we're in Christ. These parents that you saw before you a few minutes ago, they possess all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so if in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and these parents are in Christ, then that means all wisdom and knowledge is at their disposal. Christian parent, you can build a house of wisdom. You can have a house, you can have a home that exemplifies the godly character of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You possess the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ, parents. You have it in Christ. Not only that, not only are you in Christ, but you have God's Word that allows you to grow in wisdom, to grow, to understand that wisdom more fully. To give you an illustration, you say, well, but I thought I had all wisdom. Having all wisdom in Christ and understanding it is two different things. In order to understand that wisdom that you have in Christ, you have to get into His Word and you have to study. And you got to apply yourself. It's kind of like, I use the illustration of this. You can have an iPhone or one of those fancy phones, you know, that does everything. And you can have an iPhone that has incredible capacity. And it has incredible capability. You may even have the manual that explains how to make that iPhone function. So the iPhone has the capability. You got the manual that tells you how to make the thing function like it's capable of doing. But does that automatically mean, just because it's capable and just because you've got the manual, does that mean that you're going to utilize that phone to its fullest capability? Anybody in here have a fancy phone and all you know how to do is make and receive calls with it? Several of you got your hands up. Amen. Amen. You know, you got this fancy phone. It can do all this stuff and you just make and receive calls with it, right? As a Christian parent, now let me apply that. As a Christian parent, you're in Christ. You possess the Word of God. And so you have this incredible capability, like the phone, you got this great capability of building a house of wisdom. But you got to apply yourself. And you have to avail yourself of the resources that God's given you. Can I show you a great verse? Look at this, 2 Timothy 3:15. It says, and that from a child, he told Timothy, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Somebody taught this young man the Bible when he was a kid. He said, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able. Notice that the Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I think it's interesting there that the Holy Scriptures here are said to be able to make you wise. Which I think what it's inferring here is this. The Scriptures, you know, I'm in Christ, I've got all, you know, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I got the Bible, which is like the manual that tells me how to utilize that wisdom I have in Christ and how to exercise the mind of Christ. And so I've got this right here, and I've got it right here at my fingertips, and it's able to make me wise. But would you all agree with me? It's not going to make me wise if it's sitting on a shelf. Can I get an amen, right? It's not going to work if it's sitting on a shelf. You got to study it. You got to get your nose in it. You got to understand it. You got to get in there and really understand this book. And what I want to do is just take a few moments. I'm not going to be long at all. But I just want to look at some instruction that God gave to parents in the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. And I realize that the doctrinal meaning is to Israel under the law. But there's some principles here that we can apply to our parenting. I want you to go to Deuteronomy, and this will be the last place we'll turn. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. All right, it's toward the front of your Bible there. One of the Bibles up there in the front. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. All right, and we're going to look at how to build a house of wisdom. I'm going to give you four simple points, and they're going to be quick, each one. I'm only going to spend a couple minutes on each one. Now, if you're a parent, you need to listen very closely to this tonight. Maybe you're a grandparent, and you have a major impact because you're helping or maybe raising your child, grandchild, or you're helping raise your grandchild. So it's very important that you get this tonight because the principles I'm going to share with you are so awesome. And I mean, they're not awesome because I'm saying them. They're awesome because they're right here in the Bible. And I want to give you four principles here that God shared with Israel. And I believe if by His grace we could implement these four things, we could all build a house of wisdom. The first thing I want to share with you is found in verses 4. Well, let's begin by reading verses 1, 2, and 3, and let's get the context, all right? Verse 1, Deuteronomy 6, 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, notice this, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. In other words, this is going to be good for you. Isn't it interesting there that he says, look, I'm giving you some instruction, Dad, that's going to be for your son and your son's son. Man, that's good. That means, man, this is important stuff right here. He says this is something generational here. This is something that's going to go beyond your life, Dad, and you're going to instill it in your kid, and then your kid will be able to instill it in their kid. Look at verse 3. He says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now the first principle is found in verse 4. Look at it. You want to build a house of wisdom? Look at verse 4. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You remember they asked Jesus in the New Testament, what's the greatest commandment in the whole Bible? And he quoted that, didn't he? He said the greatest commandment in that book is to love God. Love Him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And this is it, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I believe that the first principle in how to build a house of wisdom is parents, you must love the Lord fervently. Love Him. I believe that more than anything else, our children need to see parents who are in love with Jesus Christ, their Savior. Just in love with Jesus. You say, why? Because that lets them know that your faith is real. When they see you in love with Jesus Christ, that lets them know your faith is real. This isn't churchianity that we're doing here. This just isn't churchianity. No, this is Christianity. This is, I'm a Christ follower. I love Jesus. My faith is real. And so parents, what I would tell you is this. Love the Lord in spite of all else. And love the Lord above all else. Love Him in spite of all else. And love the Lord above all else. As my kids have grown up, one of the things I've really prayed, because I'm far from perfect, never claimed to be perfect. My kids know I'm not perfect, and I've had to apologize to them before. And you know, but one of the things I've really prayed through the years is, Lord, I pray that they'll see a love for Jesus Christ in my life. I want them to see a genuine love in my heart for you. I want them to know Dad loves Jesus, Mom loves Jesus. They really love you. I want them to know that I want my kids to know I love the Lord. You know, there's a verse on the screen here I'll bring up. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, let him be anathema maranatha. Anathema means cursed. Let him be accursed. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, let him be accursed. It's an important issue, isn't it? Parents, your Christian life, listen to me, parents, your Christian life is not about religion. Like I said, it's not about churchianity. It's not about rules. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And your kids need to see that. They need to see that you have a walk. It's like I preached this morning. You trust in the living God who's the Savior of all men, and you have a daily walk with Him. You're trusting Him. But number two, the second principle is not only to love the Lord fervently, but number two, the second principle is to talk about the Lord continually. Talk about the Lord. Love Him. And you know what? If you love Him, I think you ought to want to talk about Him. And so we're going to see this in just a second, but I read a funny story I was going to share with you. It was about a mother that was taking a course up at the church on how to be a better mommy. And so she's taking this course, and after church she told her little girl, she said, I'm taking a course, honey, up at the church. And the little 6-year-old daughter's like, why are you taking a class, mommy? And then she said, it's so I can be a better mommy for you. So the next Sunday after church, the little 6-year-old girl became real upset. She started having a tantrum, and she was not getting her way. Both parents were trying to calm her down. With tears streaming down her face and with a loud voice, she announced to her mother, she said, you told me you were taking a course to make you a better mommy. She said, well, it's not working. That mama had been talking to her little girl about the Lord, and maybe it backfired a little bit, huh? But you know what? How many of y'all think we ought to talk about the Lord with our kids, huh? Isn't it amazing how we can talk about everything with our kids, but the greatest thing in our lives? The Lord and His Word. We can talk about everything else except the greatest thing in our life, the Lord and His Word. Look with me at verse number 6. He says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Wow. He says, man, I want you to talk about me and talk about my word to your kids all the time. When you're sitting down, when you're getting up, when you're going to bed, when you're waking up in the morning, when you're walking down by the way, when you're sitting around in the house. He said, I want you to talk about me to your kids all the time. Talk about me. He's teaching them that their faith should permeate every area of their daily lives. The temptation is to compartmentalize, and we think, well, you know what? We talk about the Lord on Sundays. But during the week, we talk about school and video games and hobbies and TV and, you know, this and that and the other. And Sundays, that's when we talk about the Lord. Well, the problem with that is that usually it isn't parents that are talking about the Lord to their kids on Sunday either. It's usually the youth leader or the Awana teacher or the life group teacher or the children's director or the junior church teacher. It's what Clint said earlier, and I'm going to tell you right now, this is a fact. Faith begins at home. It needs to come from you, parents. What they get at church should just confirm what they've been hearing from you all week long. Let me say that again. What they get at church, that ought to just confirm what they've been hearing from you all week long. They should be hearing from you about the Lord, about His Word, about Jesus Christ, about what He did on the cross, about the empty tomb, about how our faith is in this book, about honesty, about all the things that the Bible teaches. You're constantly talking to them. Look for those teachable moments all the time. Use those times to reinforce God's truth to your child. So we got two principles. Love the Lord fervently. Just let them see you loving Jesus. Number two, talk about the Lord continually. Number three, thank the Lord daily. I want you to go to verse 10. It says, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt." And he said, "from the house of bondage." You know what God told Israel? He said, when you prosper in the land, the temptation is you're going to get fat and sassy, and you are going to forget all that the Lord has done for you. Parents, and basically what he's doing, he's warning about materialism right there. He's saying you're going to get so materialistic, you're going to get so caught up in all your stuff and all the things in your houses and all this, you're going to get so caught up in things, he said, that you're going to forget the Lord and all that he's done for you. And can I submit, parents? Boy, this is a biggie in America. This is a biggie. Materialism will destroy your children. Plain and simple. Materialism will destroy them. I'm telling you right now, no kid ought to get everything that they want. They shouldn't. They need to be taught a work ethic. They need to be taught that money and things will not make them happy. And they need to be reminded of that often. How many times have I said that to you, Caleb and Clayton? When every once in a while they'll get the I say, things don't make you happy. They don't. Money doesn't make you happy. And you need to teach your kids not to expect material possessions, but when they do come, when those blessings come, there are two things you need to teach your kids. Number one, thank the Lord above and give Him the glory. You know what? I don't know about you, but I get weary of seeing kids in America today that aren't grateful for anything. I just get a little tired of that. You know, I really do. I just think that kids need to be taught to be thankful. And they need to thank the Lord. They need to know, I don't deserve this. This isn't something that is owed to me. Because kids can get that attitude that life owes them something. They need to know, hey, material possessions, that's not going to make you happy, and it's not important whether they come or not. But if they do come, I'm going to thank the Lord above, and I'm going to give Him the glory. How do they learn that? They watch their parents, amen? And then number two, they need to know that when material blessings come, ask the Lord how you can use those blessings for His glory and to help somebody else. How can I take this blessing and help somebody else with it? Never allow yourself or your kids to take their eyes off of Jesus Christ. Teach them to set their affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Materialism. Very dangerous. It'll swallow you up. It'll destroy your spirit. It'll make you unthankful. It'll make you miserable. And you need to constantly reinforce this truth on the screen right here. Jesus said this. He said unto them, take heed. In other words, you better sit up and listen. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Our kids need to know that. They don't need to get everything they want. They need to learn to be thankful. Teach your child to be thankful. Teach him to be giving. Teach him to be giving. You see, that helps. God's design to overcome covetousness is to be giving. To be giving. Now, we're not to be hoarders. We're not to hoard up everything. We're to be givers. Your kids need to see that. One last thing. Can I review real quickly? Love the Lord fervently. Talk about the Lord continually. Just talk about Him. Thank Him daily. Thank Him. Let your kids see you thanking the Lord daily. Number four, serve the Lord together. Look at verse 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. Sometimes families all go their separate ways when it comes to ministry. Dad goes here. Mom goes there. The kids do this. I want to challenge you, young families. Find ways to serve the Lord together. As your kids get older and they're able to serve, find ways to serve the Lord together. Worship together on Sundays. You know, one of the things that we really have a burden for here is to see kids. One of the things that we eventually would like to go to here, and we're still trying to figure out how to kind of logistically work it all out. But what we'd like to do is basically have one kid's hour. And so when the parents are in life group, their kids are kind of in their kid's hour. But then that second hour, unless they're really little, nursery or 3, 4, 5-year-old. But once they get to be elementary, we want to see our kids in church worshiping with their parents. And that's a burden we have, and that's a direction that we're heading, is that we don't want it to be, I go to church, I drop my kids off, I go this way, you know, and they go that way. I just believe it's good for kids to see their parents worshiping God. I think it's good for them to be in church. You say, well, but they'll be fidgety. Hey, how many of you, when you grew up, you sat in church? Huh? How many of you sat in church? Oh, almost everybody here. You know what? It didn't hurt you one bit, did it? Huh? No, you know what? I tell you one thing. Kids catch a lot more than we think, don't they? Yeah. They can sit in church and learn. And one of the things they learn, even though they may not be able to recite the 3-point outline of the pastor, one of the things they learn is they watch mom and dad worship God, and that has a huge impact on their lives. Huge. Serve the Lord together. Worship God together. Pray together. Serve together. There's no greater joy than to serve God with your family. It's just so thrilling. Parents, build a house of wisdom. We have the opportunity to leave on this earth a lasting legacy through our children. One of the greatest things that you'll ever leave behind is not your money. It's not your house. It's not your cars. Not your stuff. All that'll be gone in a few years after you're gone. But I'm going to tell you what the greatest legacy is you'll leave behind. And that is kids that love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the legacy that you will leave behind. Your greatest legacy is kids that love Jesus. Kids that are raising their, like he said, your son's sons, your daughter's kids, your son's kids are raising up your children, raising up your great-grandchildren. There's this legacy that goes forth from your loins of a people that love God. That's the greatest legacy. Love the Lord. Love Him fervently. teach your kids. Teach them continually. Talk about Him all the time. Thank Him daily. And serve the Lord together. Amen. We can build a house of wisdom.